This podcast is a presentation of University of California Television. Like what you hear? Consider making a donation at uctv.tv/donate so we can continue to bring you more great programs.
Epilepsy is a condition where the activity of some part of the brain gets overtaken, where all of the neurons stop what they're doing, become highly, highly synchronized. In fact, become so synchronized that you can detect the neural activity even from outside of the brain using techniques like EEG. Sometimes surgery, by just removing that part of the brain, can actually cure someone of their seizures and epilepsy. The area that we're focused on tomorrow is called the temporal lobe. At the very front of the temporal lobe, there's a little hole about this big where the brain is kind of pushing out just a little bit. Mm. The reason why that happened is that hole didn't really fuse at the base of the skull when you were born in. That's usually a sign that something maybe happened in that region really early on.
Oh, really?
Really early on. Like maybe in utero or soon afterwards. But usually what it means is some of the stuff around it is never really developed in the right way, and it's probably the culprit. Now, it's pretty normal to have some word-finding difficulties after the surgery, even for a couple of weeks or months.
Yeah.
It will get better over time.
Language.
Word-finding.
Specific word-finding.
Okay.
You know,
a memory thing?
It's kind of like a recall thing.
Okay. Yeah. Part of the reason I did that little, you know, the test I'm doing.
Yeah, and we're going to be testing that. I've got a small electrical probe that I'll be testing every part of that brain before we move it. I'm going to test that just to make sure that it's not critical for that function. Okay. But even the area right behind it, even if it becomes swollen, you'll have word finding problem. Okay, so I'm just giving you guys a heads up. That's pretty normal, actually. 80% of the time, people will have that as a temporary problem.
Okay.
Okay, so now let's move on to those exercises we were supposed to do today.
Right.
To get the baseline for tomorrow.
Ow.
Good.
Helicopter.
Go.
That's a monkey. Who wrote? Schroller. Mountain. Started out when I was 20, so almost 5 years ago. First had him when I was living in Reno and woke up one night with blood all over my sheets and like my tongue was pretty bitten up and I was like, what happened to me? And I mean, I like lifted up and the only thing that was possible was a seizure. Then I started having them when I was awake and I had one at my job. Had one for sure awake there at it at my desk. That was no good. Ended up quitting that job and stuff. Trying to find a different work from home job, which was good.
So pulmonary is going to work. Yeah. Okay. All right, Nolan, can you hear me? Okay, I'm going to put a little bit of numbing medication up here on your forehead. On your forehead, okay? A little bit of numbing medication right here.
Nice deep breath.
Okay. Towards Miguel, on count of three, nice and slow. One, two, three. Okay, and then up on the side.
Relax this muscle.
Got it. Yeah, let's turn and then let's do a consent form.
Okay, this is Nolan. We're doing a left-sided epilepsy resection. Everyone agree this is the left side?
Agree.
Any drug allergies?
So the first step is really about making sure that that part of the head is numb. And it turns out that the skull and the brain itself, they don't have any pain receptors or nerve receptors. The rest of the surgery, actually, we don't really need any more numbing medication beyond the scalp. We use a drill that allows us to safely remove a piece and give us a window into the brain. Once we have everything fully exposed, the anesthesia medications are slowed down or stopped, and the patients will naturally wake up. Take some local, please. Let me see some wet latex.
Everything's going well, okay?
Nolan, everything's going really well. A couple of these. Oh, hey, Tommy. You guys need to come and get set up right over here. Let me see a pickup. Okay, the four contact strips going over the temporal pole.
Four contact strips over the temporal pole?
Yep. Okay, so we're gonna get started. I'm gonna have you first repeat some words, and we'll start with that. Can I turn the suction off so it's more quiet here?
To map out critical functions of the brain, we use a probe that uses a small electrical current. And when that current is applied to the tissue, that small centimeter gets inactivated. And that allows us to assess whether or not that part of the brain is really critical for things like talking or moving. We can take a small piece of paper that has a number letter and put it down on the brain surface and just keep note of what those things correspond to.
Say stationary.
Stationary.
Say subdivision.
Subdivision.
Say substitution.
Substitution.
Say superstition.
Superstition.
What happened there, Noah?
It was the second time where my jaw shook a little bit, almost like I was cold, but I wasn't.
Were you able to speak?
Just took a second.
Okay.
But yes, I was. It just like...
Okay, why don't you count to 10?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Okay, same thing, Nolan. Okay.
Yeah, 4 and 7 were the same thing.
Let's do picture naming now. This is exactly what we're looking for, Nolan. Good job.
Table. Piano. Chicken.
Better?
Yes. I'm okay.
Lone, you hanging in there?
Hanging in there, Jane.
Okay, good. I like it. What kind of music do you listen to, Noah?
All sorts.
All sorts?
I love music.
You know he's been playing golf his whole life?
Whole life.
Whole life.
He's pretty good, I know that.
I took a break for a while, but yeah, it's time for us.
Are you a long game or a short game kind of guy?
More of a short game, but...
ECOG's okay? Nothing? Fine. Okay, all right, we're done with the ECOG then.
When you're looking at the brain through a craniotomy, it actually all looks very similar. It's very easy to be out of context because you're looking through a relatively small window. There's no visual marker that says this is the motor cortex or the sensory. If you're off by a couple millimeters, It could mean the difference between someone being paralyzed or unable to talk or completely normal and healthy and fine. We have ways that we can read out the electrical activity of the brain while someone is thinking. And we can actually see the activity with our computers and sensors that analyze the signals that come from the part of the brain. And we now have many tools to map the brain in a way that's very complete and in ways we've never had before.
Nolan, you did such a good job. We're gonna let you go to sleep now, okay? Mm-hmm. We got all the information we needed to. Yeah, Nolan, there's a little bit part here that's a little sensitive. That's what you're feeling, which is normal. Okay, we're gonna get you off to sleep though, so.
Pole, P-O-L-E.
Let me get the microscope in here now. Keep coming in.
This organ that we're looking at is who we are. This is what it literally looks like, and just to fathom how this organic matter can give rise to things like thoughts and language and movement. That's why I went into this in the first place, actually, you know, because it just is so fascinating.
I can barely feel my scar anymore. I didn't expect to feel this after 3 months, just to feel this great again. I'm really, really happy with how everything's turned out, and I just hope it all continues. Can't wait till I can just not have to worry about having to have people take me everywhere all the time. Being able to drive, I mean, eventually the lowering of my medicine and maybe just being able to, I don't know, grab a beer with friends sometimes would be nice. Taking it as safe as I have and having the support I have with my family, I'm so lucky. It's hard to even really express how lucky I am.
You've been listening to a podcast by University of California Television. For more information about this program or UCTV, visit us online at uctv.tv.